Gartato by Nigel Holloway. Cremona, Italy, 1720.
I hated Crapone from that very first moment in Guarneri's workshop. The way he ran his thick, coarse fingers down my neck. Bartolomeo never held me like that. He caressed me like a lover.
Well, what do you think?
I'll think about it.
Come on, Crapone. I said I'll make it worth your while.
A violin. What would I do with a violin?
Learn to play. Get out of here. Leave Cremona. Leave Italy. Make a fortune.
Yeah, right. Me?
Why not? What's for you here? Sweeping up wood shavings? Sharpening tools?
Right.
I'm serious. I'd get out if I could.
Like your brother? I can just hear your father now. How am I supposed to make a living for the family if all my sons run off to Venice? How am I supposed to compete with those jumped up Stradivari? I might as well cut my throat.
Just tell me where I can find her. Alone.
Which violin?
This one. Papa wouldn't sell it because of this mark on the wood.
You could replace the panel?
No, I couldn't. Once I'd made it, I couldn't bring myself to harm it. I don't expect you to understand. My violins are like my children.
Bartolomeo Guarneri's love made me what I am. And when I sang for him, it was like the voice of an angel, like the voice of Jesus. Del Gesù, that was what they called him.
Especially because of where the wood came from.
So, not only do you offer me a second-rate violin in exchange for my sister's virtue, one made from stolen wood.
It wasn't stolen. Just wasn't good enough for Signor Stradivari. He threw it away. I just happened to be there to catch it.
Just like you want to catch my sister.
Second rate. Scartato, he called me. Bartolomeo chastised him, but I could tell from the way he handled me. Inferior. Cast off. Scartato. I would never sing for that pig.
Drury Lane, London, 1735.
Good night, Mr. Sharp.
Hello, Mr. Sharp. Thanks for coming home with me.
No, Richard.
Sally.
I said no, and I meant no. Not until you get me that money. You may be good-looking, and you may be a talented musician, but you are proving to be something of a disappointment to me, Mr. Sharp.
Where can I get £100? My creditors are hammering at the door as we speak.
Well, let your ridiculous wife handle them. From what I hear, she's developed some rather interesting ways of avoiding them.
Leave the stupid little bitch out of this.
Yes, but no matter how embarrassing she becomes, you still take dear Charlotte's money, don't you?
Sally, I can't get £100. My salary at Drury Lane...
I don't see you trying very hard, my love. You obviously care more about your interminable, uninspired music than about me. Look at these. Aren't I worth it?
£100?
You sound like a damn parrot. Is that all you can say? £100? Get me the money, Richard. And don't come back here begging me to let you into my bed until you get it.
But where? Can't it wait until morning?
The night is young, as they say. Men of quality, men of consideration, are just starting their evening frolics. Surely you, of all people, know where to find them.
I'm so tired.
When you get back with the money, I will make you forget your tiredness. I can. You know I can.
Damn you, you slut!
Now, Richard. Be nice. Nice first, rough later. Get me the money. Or would you prefer it if I were to find someone else to get it for me?
Damn you!
Mr. Shark, surely it is. Mr. Shark, allow me to congratulate you on your overture this evening.
Yes, thank you.
I thoroughly enjoyed your performance. The middle section, in 3-4 against the accompaniment, 6-8 time. So ingenious.
I see you are a musician, sir.
Let me get you another drink, sir. A drawer. A musician? No, indeed. Merely an enthusiastic amateur.
Thank you. You have the advantage of me.
Oh, forgive me, I have not introduced myself. My name is Henry Moore.
Mr. Moore.
Of Kingston, Jamaica.
Ah, a planter.
No, I am merely a servant. A humble servant of the king. An administrator, shall we say.
Indeed.
Forgive me, Mr. Shark, but you seem troubled.
Forgive me, sir, but there is nothing you can do to assist me.
A trouble shared is a trouble halved, sir. Ah, your drink.
Thank you. Well, if you have a mind to be depressed.
Ah, now let me guess. A handsome young man such as yourself. It must be a woman. Yes, that's it. A woman. I must have women. Nothing unbends the mind like 'em. Hey.
I see you are familiar with Mr. Gay's opera.
And a fine-looking gentleman such as yourself must have played the part of Captain MacHeath, I'll wager.
Indeed. But the part sits far easier upon the stage than off it, I assure you, sir.
More than one woman, I see.
I wish I...
If wishes were horses, then beggars would ride, Mr. Shark.
I wish I had never set eyes on any of the confounded sex.
Is that so? Is it so bad?
I have a wife who I never loved, who, far from supplying me with any kind of dowry or other comfort, torments me with her demands for herself and for our daughter. Then I have a mistress who does not love me, who torments me to satisfy her insatiable gambling debts. I am only a poor musician, sir. True, I sing and act, and teach dancing to add to my earnings, but the bailiffs are constantly at my heels, and there seems no end to it, no way out.
A common tale where I come from. I have heard it many times from those who have escaped from their troubles here in England.
Escape?
Indeed, yes. Your debts cannot follow you to the West Indies, and I'll warrant, neither can your women.
Ha! You jest with me, sir. At other times and in other circumstances, I would welcome your humour. But at present, I have need of such a large sum of money that...
Beg pardon, sir. I should not intrude.
£100.
A large sum indeed, but perhaps...
Perhaps?
You are a talented musician, an actor, a singer, a dance master. With such accomplishments, you would be welcome wherever you chose to travel. In fact, I myself...
Forgive me, sir, but...
Let me explain. I have travelled to London to recruit a band of entertainers, actors, singers, musicians, dancers, on behalf of the Governor of Jamaica. And as far as I can see, you seem to fit the requirement perfectly.
Aye, if only I can...
I am authorized by His Excellency the Governor to offer free transport to Jamaica to those seeking a new challenge, so we say, a new opportunity to start afresh.
As I said, sir, if only...
And an advance on future earnings.
An advance?
Of exactly the amount you need.
My dearest darling Sally, by the time you read this, I shall be gone. Despite all my endearments, my protestations of love, my affection and respect, still you do not love me. And yet, I confess, I love you, despite your cruelty, your selfishness, your remoteness. I can do nothing but worship the ground you walk on. But I cannot go on in this agony of longing without some tenderness, some feeling in return. And I know better than anyone that you cannot give it. So I have taken what others may say is the cowardly path. I have run away. Run away from my creditors, the bailiffs, and from you. Believe me when I say that I do this with a heavy heart and a profound sadness in my innermost soul. But I see no future here in London for me, or for the two of us. And yet, in my heart, I hope there may be a future. And with that thought in mind, I set out to a new life in the West Indies. If my absence makes you think fondly of me, if your heart misses my companionship, if your bed should be empty without me, then come to me, my darling. I will send word to you, my angel. Your loving, Richard.
Richard, what ill wind brings you here?
Let me in, Charlotte, please.
What do you want?
Charlotte, I came to tell you I'm leaving.
As far as I'm concerned, you left 3 years ago. Discarded us without a second thought. For me or for your baby daughter.
No, you don't understand. I'm leaving England.
So much the better for the country.
To make a new life. In Jamaica. I came to say...
There's nothing to say, Richard.
I came to say goodbye to Kitty.
To Kitty? Why, Richard? You never wanted to see her, to hold her, to watch her grow. Why should you want to say goodbye to someone you never knew? Someone you deliberately cast aside?
I know. Do we have to quarrel again now? It's past. I only have a few hours before the tide.
You shouldn't have come here. Kitty's asleep. I won't disturb her for the likes of you.
At least let me see her.
Why? What good would it do? So that you can pretend you have a daughter? So that you can describe her, boast about her to your friends? So that you can play the loving father?
Charlotte!
Very well. Look, then leave.
I never realised. Her fingers. So long. So delicate. A violinist's fingers.
We have hardly enough for food. A violin? Lessons? I think not, Richard.
I could have taught her. I could have given her a violin.
Yes. And now? Who will teach her now, Richard?
May I kiss her? Goodbye, my sweet. Does she sing?
An angel. Like an angel.
I can't wait much longer, Sir Henry. The tide will be starting to turn.
I see him! Shark! Where have you been, man?
I'm sorry, there were things I had to do. People to say goodbye to.
Well, at least you're here now. Is that all your belongings?
All I could bring, Mr. Moore.
Pass up the violin case.
You'll forgive me, sir, if I insist on keeping hold of the tools of my trade. If you could take my other bag. Thank you.
You musicians are a mysterious crew, Mr. Shark. Your fellow fiddle player, an Italian gentleman, seems to hold little value for his instrument. Well, that's our last passenger aboard, Captain. We are in your and God's hands now.
I assure you, Sir Henry, my hands will be more than sufficient for this part of the voyage. Cast off aft!
Aye, sir!
Sir Henry. My apologies, sir. I meant no disrespect.
No, I didn't tell you, Mr. Sharp, for fear of influencing your decision. And now that we have been properly introduced, let us greet our fellow passengers. So, Shark, now you've met all your fellows, what do you think of them? Will they make a merry band for our entertainment in Jamaica?
Not all, Sir Henry. I think you said there was another violin player?
Indeed I did. Where is he?
Mr. Capone's apologies, sir, but he's retired to his cabin.
Already?
Said he felt unwell, sir. Went straight in and locked the door.
Well, that doesn't bode well for him. We're hardly out of the Thames.
What shall I do with his violin case, sir?
Shark, would you look after it for him?
Of course, Sir Henry.
Italians, eh? Hope you're a better sailor, Shark. We'll need an even number for guards after dinner. Can you feel her? Hear her? The ship. Tied up alongside. She's so much timber and canvas. But out here... out here where she belongs. She's alive.
Somehow I knew. Somehow I could feel it. It was the way he carried me. The way he set me down in his cabin. He cared. Not like Crepponi. Not like that peasant. And when he touched me, I knew. The way his fingers caressed my neck. The way he held me against his face. The way he breathed in my essence. And he knew too. I could tell. No one had held me like that since Bartolomeo. No one had felt love for me since that day in Cremona. He'd seen the stain. The scar on my back, my flaw, but it had meant nothing to him. When he took up the bow, I sang for him, like I sang for Bartolomeo that dusty summer's afternoon in the workshop behind the piazza. It was an act of love, soaring, swooping, diving, like a bird in the blazing blue of the endless sky. Yeah. I was there again, among the tools, the shards of wood shavings, the bottles of preservative, the varnishes, the smell of the sunshine on the cured wood. And Bartolomeo. And yet not him, a stranger. A stranger who knew me, who joined with me, who sang with me, like angels, soaring to heaven, free. And when it was over, a silence. A silence broken by the creaking of timbers and the exultation of the sea and wind.
Shark, are you all right? I couldn't help but hear. Beautiful instrument.
Yes. Yes, extraordinary.
And beautifully played. I hope we can have the pleasure of hearing it in public soon, for the benefit of the others.
What? Yes. Yes, of course.
Yes. Good. Until later, then.
Have you come from heaven? Did God make you? What angel brought you to me?
We knew. We both knew that we had been made for each other.
Signor Creponi, welcome back to the land of the living.
Leaving, Sir Henry? I think not. It is clear that I have died and gone to hell.
Well, despite your impression, I hope that the company and the surroundings will prove you wrong, sir. It's good to see you at last. A new source of conversation will enliven us all, I think. I hesitate to ask, but will you feel well enough to join us for dinner, do you think?
Perhaps. I am now so thin that my own mother would not recognize me.
Allow me to introduce you to Mr. Shark. He is a fellow musician, a violinist like yourself.
So, it was you.
Me, sir?
The one who played.
Yes, I hope you don't mind.
So beautiful. Let me shake your hand. The hand of a maestro. And your violin, such an instrument. A voice like an angel. A treasure from God.
Yes.
Mine is a poor thing, serviceable. I scratch out a living, but compared with yours, ah.
Yes. Thank you.
And speaking of instruments, Sir Henry, have you seen mine?
I gave it to Mr. Shark for safekeeping.
Then it could not be in better hands.
The fool knew nothing. He had no idea, no conception that we could make such divine music together. But I belonged to him. I was still his possession. And sooner or later, he would want me back.
I would be happy to keep it for you, Signor Creponi.
Really? Well, it is true that my cabin is rather confined.
whereas I assure you I have more than enough room for my few belongings.
Then it is settled, Signor Shark. Mille grazie.
Signor Craponi, will you take a turn upon the deck?
Forgive me, my recovery is still so recent and so unsure that to risk this year at this stage could prove fatal. But I see some gentlemen at cards. Perhaps I will watch them for a while. Gentlemen, your servant.
And so I was reprieved. And for the rest of the voyage, I was his and his alone. I almost forgot the feel of those clumsy, thrusting fingers, the harshness of the attack, the roughness of his hands. But the weather grew warmer, and we sailed relentlessly towards the day when I must go back. He felt it too, I could tell. But he was not a man to give up such a prize so easily.
I have not seen you play at cards, Shark. Not since we embarked.
I have been tempted, Sir Henry. But as I have nothing to wager...
Nonsense, man. A gentleman's credit is good here.
You will remember, sir, my miserable state when we first met. I have considered that most of my former troubles have been as a direct result of my weakness when it comes to both cards and women. As we are a company of men, I am forced to forswear the one. As to the other, I am a very poor card player, Sir Henry, and would undoubtedly lose heavily.
In the absence of female company, I cannot allow you to forswear all pleasures, Mr. Shark. I will promise to underwrite any losses you may incur, if that will allow us the pleasure of your company at the table after dinner.
Sir Henry, I cannot be in your debt in this way.
No one need know. A secret, just between you and me, eh? And we will make sure that you do not find yourself up against Mr. Bellman. He seems far too accomplished for a mere flautist.
Mr. Shark seems to be somewhat proficient, Sir Henry.
I don't understand you, Captain.
I've seen a great many men play cards, sir, and I recognize that focus, that concentration.
Well, Shark told me he was an indifferent player.
That's not how I would describe him, sir. Look at the eyes. That's where you can see it. I suspect Mr. Shark is living up to his name, sir.
You don't mean to suggest that he's...
No, sir. But I'll wager that man has played in rougher company than this.
Are you sure? He seems perfectly relaxed.
And Signor Craponi seems almost too relaxed, wouldn't you say, sir?
Ah, I see. One more hand and I think we should save the Italian from himself. Don't you think?
Another glass, Stuart.
Mr. Shark?
Not for me, thank you.
Grazie. And now, Signor Shark, what will you wager?
I will wager 100 guineas, Signor Craponi.
100 guineas?
Surely not, Shark.
100 guineas.
Very well. Signor Craponi, will you match him?
Very well. 100 guineas.
Your cards, Signor. And now yours, Mr. Shark. It seems your luck has turned, Mr. Shark.
Luck, yes, naturally. I do not have sufficient funds here.
We understand, Signor.
No.
I beg your pardon?
No. Surely, as fellow passengers... As fellow musicians.
I said no. I demand payment here and now.
Signor Caproni's credit.
My credit. I will give you a note.
No credit.
But surely, otherwise I have nothing.
I will take your violin in payment.
My violin?
Yes.
But it is worthless. A flawed thing. It was given to me as a cast-off.
Nevertheless, I will have it.
But my act, how will I be able to work without my violin?
Thank you, gentlemen, for your company. Signor?
Shark, you can't be serious. His violin?
Good night, Sir Henry. Gentlemen.
No!
Somehow, I knew. There was a change. In the air, a lightning. I felt it. Something, I suppose you would call it hope. When he held me, there was certainty, confidence, continuity. I could feel it in his hands. And I knew at last I could be what I was destined to be.
Morning, Shark.
It is indeed, Sir Henry. To what do I owe this pleasure?
You know perfectly well, Shark. You told me that you were no card player. Your performance last night belies that description.
Forgive me, Sir Henry. My description of my card playing abilities was accurate. But as with all things, it is merely comparative. Compared to the company I was used to keep in Covent Garden, the players on this ship are babes in arms.
Your conduct towards Signor Creponi did you no credit, sir. A gentleman would...
I never claimed to be a gentleman, sir. And as for Creponi, the man's a fool. A blind and seeing fool.
That is no excuse.
Do you know what this is? This worthless, flawed cast-off?
Well, surely one violin is like another.
No. This miracle speaks to God. It sings with angels. It is truly divine. The man who holds it, the man who sings with it, he holds in his hands the sound of heaven itself.
Shark!
A treasure beyond riches, beyond man's wildest dreams, beyond expectation, beyond anything I ever knew or felt or heard. And now, it's mine. And to make it mine, I would have done anything, Sir Henry. Anything.
Shark, I...
And if all I had to give up for it was your esteem, then it had been a price worth paying 10 times over.
Anything?
Then let us both thank God that I was able to win it at cards.
Mrs. Phillips! Fresh meat! Mr. Moore's ship is back.
There, Mary, calm yourself. Are you sure?
As sure as I'm standing here, Mrs.
As you spend so little of your time standing, that is of little recommendation. Get yourself down to the harbour. Tell Joseph to take you, then bring me all the news.
News?
Sir Henry will have brought back some entertainers. I want to hear all about them. Every detail. Oh, and I think you should refrain from describing them as fresh meat. Particularly in front of Mr. Needham.
Yes, ma'am. But that's what they are.
Nevertheless. Oh, and there should be letters for me from England.
Is there anything else, Mrs.?
Make sure you come straight back. This is not an excuse to spend the day gossiping with your dubious friends. And when I say I want news, that doesn't mean gawping. Do you understand?
Fresh meat, ma'am.
Let us hope Henry has brought us succulent joints into which we may sink our sharp, pretty teeth.
Gentlemen, we stand on solid ground once more. Let us give thanks to God and to our captain for our safe deliverance. And now to our arrangements. Your accommodations have been provided. My aide, Lieutenant Parker here, will be able to show you to your new rooms. While I expect you will all be glad to get back to work after all these weeks of enforced idleness, I suspect
that your first priority will be a decent meal. Mr. Parker, will you see to it that these gentlemen are looked after, while I, gentlemen, will leave you for the time being. I've been away too long, and there are urgent calls upon my time. Your first engagement, gentlemen, will be in 3 days' time. Lieutenant Parker will give you the details. I look forward to seeing and hearing you all there. Good day to you all.
Now, gentlemen, will you follow me? I suggest we get out of the sun. It can be very hot at this time of day.
And now we are on dry land, and away from the protection of Sir Henry. I want my violin back.
I won it fair and square, Crapone.
Fair and square? I was drunk. You knew it.
As I said, fair and square. A man must have his wits about him. If not...
You have much in common with your namesake.
Indeed.
So, how am I to work?
That is your problem, Crapone, but I dare say the lieutenant could find you a violin. Why not ask him?
Ta! I still do not see why you should want it. An inferior piece of junk!
I have my reasons.
Tell me, do you know the meaning of the word vendetta, shark? Take care where you walk at night.
Well, my dear, the loading is all but finished. My ship will be ready to sail tomorrow, Thursday at the latest.
Surely you will not sail before Saturday?
Saturday? Why not?
Because Sir Henry has arrived back with a new troupe of musicians and entertainers, and he will be sure to hold a ball on Saturday evening. We must be there.
A ball? Then you must go, Connie, of course. But I fear that the state of the weather and the tides must prevent me from coming with you. I've spoken to Captain Chambers, and he says the weather and wind is set fair for a speedy passage to Virginia. If we delay, it could add weeks, months to the trip. So tell me, my darling, which shall it be, Sir Henry's ball or my speedy return?
Oh, very well. But I warn you, I will take another lover in your absence.
I will not be away long enough for you to seduce a new lover. And if what I hear about these musicians is true, they will have eyes only for the lower sorts of pleasures, or indeed, for each other. And as to money...
A lover needs nothing in the bedroom but his manhood.
Now I know you're teasing me. If there is one thing you have proved to yourself beyond any doubt, it is that money is the best endowment any man can bring to the bedroom. And that, my dear, is why you will be here waiting for me when I return. Even richer than I leave.
Mrs. Phillips!
Mary, I told you not to take all day.
I've seen them, Mrs.
Tell me, slowly.
There was 13 or 14 of them, ma'am. All fine figures of men.
Go on.
There's a good-looking Italian, ma'am. He winked at me, he did.
And what did you do to encourage him? No, don't tell me. And do these fine figures of manhood have names, Mary?
The Italian's called Signor Crapone, Mrs. I got a list here, ma'am, from my friend at the port office.
The others are English and Scottish, I see. Oh, and look here. Sir Henry seems to have picked up a denizen of the deep on his voyage, Mary.
Ma'am?
Mr. Shark, don't you think that's funny?
You don't ever laugh when I say jokes, Mrs.
Well played, gentlemen. It seems we are something of a success.
Even without your newly stolen instrument, Shark.
I'm surprised you noticed.
Oh, yes. I'm watching you, Shark. My time will come.
But not tonight, Signor Crapone.
Ah, Shark. Well played. Well played, everyone. It seems you've made quite a stir with our guests.
They especially appreciated the new tunes from London. A real breath of fresh air. It seems we colonials are easily pleased when it comes to music.
I hardly think that applies to you, Sir Henry.
I see Signor Creponi has acquired a new violin.
But not a new technique. Lieutenant Parker found it. A good instrument. Far too good for the talents of Creponi, but it serves.
I also notice that you are not playing the other instrument.
The tone would have been at odds with the ensemble, sir. It's a rare creature, never intended for such gatherings as tonight's.
If not tonight, then when?
I do not know. With such a treasure in the palm of my hand.
Forgive me, Sir Henry. Won't you introduce me?
Why, of course, my dear. May I present Mrs. Constantia Phillips, Mr. Richard Shark.
Ma'am, your servant.
Charmed. Mr. Shark, allow me to say how beautifully you played this evening.
Thank you, ma'am. A pleasure to have entertained you.
Is not Mr. Needham with you, Connie?
He sailed for Virginia with yesterday evening's tide. He will be away for some weeks, perhaps months, I fear. This evening's entertainments have been a delight, a purge to melancholy, Sir Henry.
I'm glad I was able to have been of assistance in keeping up your spirits, ma'am.
And now, Sir Henry, are we to play at cards?
Well, of course, Mrs. Phillips. Allow me to accompany you into the salon.
Will you join us, Mr. Shark?
Mr. Shark does not play cards, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But I am happy to watch, Mrs. Phillips.
I'm sure you will bring me luck, Mr. Shark. I win! Again! So, Mr. Shark, it seems you are my lucky charm after all.
How can you fail to win, Mrs. Phillips, when you cheat so exquisitely?
Sir, what do you mean?
I think you know very well what I mean. Are you the same in all things?
Of course. And you, sir?
I have no time for rules, for propriety.
Really? Then you are unusual indeed, Mr. Shark. Most men...
I am not most men.
Most men?
And by that I take it you mean your several husbands? You see, I know who you are. While you have been playing, I have been racking my poor brains to remember where I have heard your name. And then it came to me. Constantia Teresa Phillips, much married, little divorced, much gossiped of, little understood, much condemned, never forgiven, and more sinned against than sinning I would be prepared to wager. So this is where you've been hiding.
Hiding, Mr. Shark? Oh no. All men are the same, sir, perfidious creatures. To men, women are nothing but playthings to while away an idle hour. Or objects of desire to be pursued and then possessed. Or assets on a balance sheet. It is their lot.
Theirs? But not yours, eh, Connie?
I play the game, Mr. Shark, but by my rules. You should know that before...
Before?
Do you know how they say a woman may get rich here in the West Indies? Marry and bury, Mr. Shark. Marry and bury. Remember that before you get involved... You feel that evening breeze, Mr. Shark? Here they call it the undertaker's wind. Learn from the moth that flutters around that candle flame. See, he is fascinated, entranced. He circles his desire, so sure of himself, his invincibility, his invulnerability. He feels the heat, the ecstasy, the pain, the pleasure. And then he flies too close and... gone. Don't make the same mistake, Mr. Shark.
Richard.
Don't make the same mistake, Richard.
Good morning, gentlemen. My congratulations once again for your performance last evening. I trust you enjoyed the evening as much as my distinguished guests did. They've been buzzing, gentlemen, buzzing and in consequence, I intend to further whet their appetites with a musical concert. Ah, I see Mr. Shark is not with us. Does anyone know where he is?
Face down in the harbour, perhaps.
No? Very well. No doubt he will grace us with his presence. Ah, there you are, Mr. Shark. Are you unwell?
A touch of fever, I believe, Sir Henry. I understand the island is much prone to fevers.
Indeed so, Mr. Shark. Well, you're here now, so we'll get on. A particular favourite with the ladies last evening was the medley of tunes from the Beggar's Opera. So I think we should repeat that item. The other item that was remarked upon was that piece from Mr. Handel. Do we all have copies?
Fever. So that's what they call it now, is it?
When I want your comments, I shall ask for them. Until then, I suggest you keep your mouth shut.
Or what? You shut it for me?
There are worse things than fever on these islands, Kraponi.
I pray they search you out and kill you.
Gentlemen, you were saying?
We were just discussing the bowing for the piece, sir.
Ah, good, good. Mr. Shark, could I have a word in private?
Sir Henry?
I know this is none of my business, sir, but I did recognize the carriage.
Mrs. Phillips was so good as to lend it to me.
Yes, yes, of course. About Mrs. Phillips.
I know all about Mrs. Phillips, sir.
But there are some things that perhaps of which you are not aware.
Trust me, sir, I know her history, shall we say.
It's just that Mr. Needham, I would not like to see...
Believe me, sir, I have no desire to cause Mr. Needham or yourself any embarrassment. I assure you of my complete discretion, sir. Mrs. Phillips and I are kindred spirits, both outcasts in our own way. We know how the game is played.
Richard?
I'm here.
Why do you trust me, Richard?
Because unlike all your other men, I have nothing.
Is that true, Richard?
Only what you see here in the moonlight. And disappointing though it may be, it is all there is.
Then what was the treasure I overheard you talking to Sir Henry about that first night we met?
Treasure? Oh, that!
What are you laughing about?
Is that what you want? My treasure?
I didn't want there to be any secrets between us.
You thought there was a treasure. What sort of treasure did you imagine? A pirate hoard? There must be hundreds of those buried here. Land? The deeds to a plantation? Is that what you thought?
Richard, you're making fun of me.
There's no treasure. At least, not what you understood.
What then?
Connie, I'm a musician. A poor violinist. It's very rare for a man to become a rich musician. But if I wanted to be rich, I would do what your Needham does. Plant sugar. Buy and sell slaves. Make rum. Grow coffee. But I'm not a Jamaican plantation owner. Or a Dutch merchant. Or a rich baronet. I'm just a poor fiddle player. My treasure is given away. It's shared by anyone who cares to listen. It's music, Connie. Music. My violin. That's my special treasure.
But I heard you say...
And who did you hear me say it to? Sir Henry? A man with a passion for music as great as mine? He of all men would understand what it means to find an instrument so beautiful, so fine, so wonderful, that when you play it, it talks to God. Connie, it talks to God. I talk to God. And in that moment, God speaks back to me. It's beyond price, Connie, beyond value. And once you find it, you need nothing else.
Mary! Mary! Over here, girl.
Mr. Capone?
Over here.
I got your message, Mr. Capone. But you shouldn't be seen here with me. Not in public.
It's dark. No one can see us. Besides, do you think I care about that?
You should care, for your reputation.
What about yours?
People like me got no reputation, Mr. Capone. I'm a slave, a mulatto.
She don't treat you like a slave?
No, sir. Mrs. Phillips is not like the others. She's a real fine lady.
And what about Shark?
Mr. Shark is a strange man, sir. He talked to God.
You what?
He says he talked to God. I heard him and my mistress talking in the night. Mr. Shark says his violin lets him talk to God.
His violin? It's not his violin. It's my violin. Talks to God, does he? Well, he'll be able to speak to him face to face pretty soon. If, Mary, how much do you know about the things that live on the island? Snakes, scorpions, spiders.
Gentlemen, very good. On that evidence, we will give a good account of ourselves on Thursday next. Until the same time tomorrow, Mr. Shark, I trust you're well.
Sir Henry, I have a favour to ask you.
Very well, if I can.
I have it here in my case.
Mr. Shark!
I apologise, Sir Henry. Something bit me.
Where?
My hand.
I don't see anything.
There, look. That brown thing, there.
There! It won't bite anything else. Let me see your hand. No, I can't see anything. But if you wish, I can send for Dr. King. These spiders can be...
No. I'm sure it's nothing.
No, look, there's another one. And another. Oh, damn creatures. Fiddlebacks. Don't usually see them in the daylight. They must have decided your violin case was a perfect place to hide. Jamaica has lots of these types of things, I'm afraid. But more than made up for by the climate, I'm glad to say. Be careful when you open your case, Mr. Craponi. There may be more of the little beggars.
You need not worry on my behalf, Sir Henry. I'm a very careful man. See? Nothing hiding in here. If the soap is little bite will not prevent Mr. Shark from playing.
Yes, indeed.
I felt the change come over him as he played, as the poison spread through him.
Richard, what's the matter?
Nothing. My hand.
Let me look. Richard, what's this?
Nothing. A bite. This morning in Kingston, a spider.
Let me send for the doctor. Mary?
No, it's nothing.
Mary!
Yes, ma'am?
Get Joe to take you to Dr. King. Bring him back with you. Tell him it's urgent.
Yes, Mrs.
Quickly, girl.
It's nothing, really.
Richard, you're shaking.
Touch of fever. Nothing, really, I...
Richard!
And then I felt him sinking. Sinking into a pool of darkness.
Doctor?
Interesting. I've lived here for 20 years and I've not seen a reaction like this to a spider bite before. It may be that the fever has struck him at the same time. We must keep him warm. I'll return in the morning with fresh leeches. Until then, there's nothing more I can do for him.
Honey.
Yes, Richard.
Honey. My violin. Very important.
Yes?
Treasure.
The violin. Yes, I understand you.
Talk. God, Kitty.
Kitty? Richard, who is Kitty?
Kitty.
Richard.
Henry. Fiddlebuck. Craponi.
I don't understand.
Henry. Henry.
Richard.
Mrs.
What is it, Mary?
Sir Henry's here.
Fetch him up, Mary.
Yes, Mum.
Richard, what are you trying to tell me?
Connie, I saw Dr. King. He told me. I came straight away.
He's been asking for you.
Richard! Richard! Can you hear me? It's Henry.
Henry. Henry. Stalker. Alone.
Alone?
Alone. Yes.
I'll be in the other room. Come, Mary.
Richard. I'm here. What is it? What is it you want to tell me?
Missus, I've never seen a spider bite turn like that.
No.
I swear I never thought...
You never thought what?
Mr. Capone, he...
What are you trying to say, Mary?
Nothing, Missus. Nothing.
Mary, go to Mr. Shark.
Yes, ma'am.
What did he want, Henry?
He wanted me to pass something on for him. To his daughter, Kitty. And then... There's something you and I need to do. Both of us.
Missus, you better come quick. I think he's gone.
And then, for me, there was nothing. Nothing but the all-encompassing blackness. An infinite void. Emptiness.
Mr. Capone,
Surprised to see me here, Mary?
No.
Now he's dead, there's no reason for me to be shy now, is there? So I come.
Yes, sir.
Well, show me in. Your mistress is here, is she not?
Yes, she's here, sir, but...
But nothing. I have come for what is mine. There is no need to trouble your lovely little head about anything.
What I did, sir, I had no idea.
You did nothing. A little favour. Nothing at all. Now tell your mistress I am here.
No need, Mary. I heard the knock. Good day, Signor Crapponi. Would you care to come in?
Yes, I will come in. The sun is hot.
Please, sit here on the veranda, in the shade.
Thank you, Mrs. Phillips. I think you know what I have come for.
Yes, I expected you. Sooner, in fact.
Please, Signora Phillips. I am a man of sensitivity. I knew you would give Mr. Shark the honor of a decent burial. There was no rush. Any sooner would have been, how do you say, indelicate.
But now you are here. Mary, will you fetch the case? It is in the salon where Mr. Shark left it.
A great tragedy, the loss of Mr. Shark. A wonderful musician. And so sudden... Nobody could have foreseen.
No.
He played like an angel, yes.
He talked...
To God, yes, so they say. Ah, at last it comes back to me.
Mr. Crapponi, I hope you will not be too distressed.
Mr. Shark and I were not close.
No, I meant... Please open the case.
What? Oh, what is this? I destroyed! No! Oh, this cannot be! No! Diavolo! Il diavolo impersonato! Crudele bastardo! He knew! He knew it was worthless all the time! He stole it torment me, to torture me. And even now he cheats me with these useless pieces. This son of a whore spits on my face.
Mr. Capone.
And you!
Leave now, Mr. Capone, before you say something you may regret. I too have lost something.
You and Suapatana!
Mary, pick up the pieces of the violin and put them back in the case. It seems Signor Craponi did not need the instrument after all.
Blackness. Silence. Nothing. An aching, empty void. For 23 years. 23 long years.
Kingston, Jamaica, 1758.
Mrs. Harmon? Mrs. Kitty Harmon?
Yes, I am Kitty Harmon.
Good day to you, madam, and welcome to Jamaica. I'm Sir Henry Moore, Governor of the island.
Oh, pardon, sir, I had no idea. I'm honoured to make Your Excellency's acquaintance.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, ma'am. I've been looking forward to this meeting since I was informed of your passage from England.
Indeed, sir. I can only say that the warmth of your welcome here is in distinct contrast with our departure from England.
We are a small community, renowned for our hospitality.
But I can hardly believe that His Majesty's Governor makes it his business to greet the passengers from each and every ship.
Indeed not, Mrs. Harmon. I have a special reason for wanting to meet you.
My husband is here, somewhere. We seem to have been parted in the crowd.
It is you I especially came to meet, Mrs. Harmon, not your husband.
Sir, you intrigue me.
Come, madam, let us sit out of the sun's heat. My carriage is here. Now, enough mystery. My dear Mrs. Harmon, the truth is, I knew your father, Richard Shark. And may I say, I could not have mistaken you for another, even after all these years.
My father?
Yes. It was I who brought him here over 20 years ago, a fine violinist. I was sorry to have to inform you and your mother of his death.
My mother always said that she knew he never loved her, and that his death was a relief to her.
I understand. Your father's act of desertion was unforgivable. But if it is at all possible for you to open your heart to his final act, it might be that you may see something of the feeling he expressed for you in his last days. I have a letter.
My dearest Kitty, if you should receive this letter, it will be due to the good offices of a fine man. A man I trust above all others, Henry Moore. A man whose respect I forfeited by my shameful actions. I cheated an Italian of a violin, an instrument such as I had never known, an instrument that allowed me to make such music that was only heard by angels in heaven, that allowed me to soar with the eternal choirs and to speak to God himself. When you read this, I shall have been dead for many years. I know that I have forfeited all claims on your affection toward me, and that I have treated you and your mother so shamefully that I can never be forgiven. But in these last days I shall spend on earth, I have thought of you ceaselessly, because I wish to pass on to you the greatest treasure a man can find, the greatest gift that I can bestow. Only in this way can I try to redeem myself from the sins I have perpetrated against you, and to show you that I have discovered true love within myself, a love that I wish with all my heart to give to you. I wish you to have
his violin.
But this is whole. I thought you said...
This is the flawed instrument that kindled the flame which led your father to find love.
It's beautiful.
I felt the sun shine on me. I felt her fingers caress me, like his fingers, so long before. At last, he would be at peace. His darkness had ended.
I kept it safe as he asked me to. The other violin? It served its purpose to put an end to Craponi's jealousy, and that, we thought, was the end of the affair. But as it happened...
Yes?
Craponi was found dead a few days later, in his bed. There was a snake found next to the body. The natives here hate snakes and reptiles with a passion you can hardly imagine. They beat it to death until it was unrecognizable.
A tragic end for the poor man.
A tragic end. Possibly.
Possibly.
Have you heard the saying, he who seeks vendetta must dig two graves, one for his enemy, the other for himself?
What do you mean, Sir Henry?
You see, there are no poisonous snakes in Jamaica, Mrs. Harmon. None at all.
That was Scartato by Nigel Holloway. The cast was as follows. Craponi, played by Kevin Welch. Sally King, Fiona Thomas. Richard Shark was Steve Davis. Henry Moore by Michael Gatton. Charlotte Shark, played by Janice Holloway. Connie Phillips was Ellie Hall. Mary was Hayley Toms. Kitty was Kira Charnley. Bartolomeo Guarneri and Henry Needham, played by Paul Buckle. The ship's captain and Lieutenant Parker, played by Roger Thomas. Ship's steward and Dr. King was Rory MacLeod Lyon. Scartato was a Concept Players presentation for Catisher Productions.